Hello, agents, and welcome to the 16th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast, hosted by myself, Pokemon Trainer Jay. This is a podcast all about the Niantic game Ingress, and in this week's episode, we'll be going through the recently announced details for the Cryptic Memories anomaly, and also discussing all the various events going on with that anomaly, and talking about GPS play and using up all your portal nominations, as I managed to do that this past week. So without further ado, I'm going to move straight into talking about the Cryptic Memories anomaly. Small notes, I think I fixed the echoing issues from the last episode. However, I've since been down with a or cold, so if you hear any like heavy breathing or like I'm about to sneeze, it's just me being ill. So don't worry, it's just me, not the sound. Right, back on with the episode. On the 24th of January, the Ingress team put up a news post with details about the Cryptic Memories in-person anomalies. It's a lot of information, so I've kind of reordered it a bit on the here for what I'm going to talk through and get a few bits out of the way first of all, such as the bonus week and how you actually earn the badges for the Cryptic Memories anomaly. So first of all, I'm going to dive into the story details that we have. So it notes that early intelligence suggests the faction that wins the Cryptic Memories Anomaly series winner will affect a critical aspect of this reality, controlling the faction identity of Redacted. We also, for this anomaly, have a Cryptic Memories bonus week, and this runs from the 22nd of March 2024, 5 p.m. UTC, to Monday the 1st of April 2024, 5 p.m. UTC. And with that, you'll get the following bonus. So all actions will yield 1.331 times AP, and hacks on friendly portals will yield 1.331 times amount of gear. So that's post the anomaly, but something that everyone gets to participate in no matter what. And the main parts I'm going to go through now is how you actually earn the Cryptic Memories Anomaly badge. So there's three ways that an agent can earn the anomaly medal: either from an anomaly site, from a cell battle, or from a shard knight. So if you do one of those, you'll get the badge. If you do two of them, you won't get an extra badge for that or anything. So first of all, to earn the medal from the anomaly site, any agent who has interacted with five or more NIA section 14 deployed battle beacons in an anomaly zone will earn the in-app anomaly medal after those battle beacons end. Agents are considered interacting with a battle beacon if they deploy or upgrade a resonator — upgrading one's own resonator does not count — attack or destroy a resonator, destroy a portal mod, destroy a link, or recharge a resonator. And that does include remote recharging. And the medal, if you're earning it this way, is awarded after an agent has reached five qualifying battle beacon interactions after the battle beacons end. Agents who've already earned the in-app anomaly medal in an earlier event, phase, or site will not receive a second anomaly medal. A Cryptic Memories agent stat will be added to your agent profile for the duration of the Cryptic Memories anomaly series to help you monitor your individual progress. So that is if you are attending an in-person anomaly site. You can also earn it, as mentioned, from a cell battle. So the top 50 agents from each faction of the chosen regional cells at the end of the chosen scepter cycles will earn the in-app anomaly medal. The anomaly medal will be granted within 1 week after the end of each chosen scepter cycle. More on the cell battles in a little bit. And you can also earn the medal from a shard knight. So any agents who's interacted locally with one or more NIA Section 14 deployed battle beacons to the spawn portal and link destination portal of shards will earn 5 points towards the Cryptic Memories agent stat, and thereby the in-app anomaly medal. Such battle beacons will be deployed at 8 6 p.m. local time during a shard night. Agents are considered interacting with a battle beacon locally if they deploy or upgrade a resonator. Again, upgrading one's own resonators does not count. Attack or destroy a resonator. Destroy a portal mod. Destroy a link. Recharge a resonator locally, so within 40 meters. Remote recharging does not qualify for the Shard Knight Anomaly Medal and the way of earning that there. So that's all the ways that you can earn those medals. As I said, I'll discuss more on those shortly. And I just want to point out there's also some additional badges available in the Ingress in-game store. So from the 16th of February 2024 to the 31st of March 2024, there are three medals you can get. There's a limited time Cryptic Memories loadout kit with Makoto Midorikawa 2024 medal, which costs 30,800 CMU. A limited edition Cryptic Memories loadout kit with Zion Kunikida 2024 medal, which costs 30,800 CMU. And a limited Cryptic Memories supporter medal kit with Cryptic Memories supporter medal, again 30,800 CMU. The other two characters mentioned are from the Ingress anime, which I believe is still on Netflix in various countries around the world, with Makoto being one of the main characters and Zion being someone that assists him in the anime. I'm not going to spoil it in case you watch it, but that's all for the medals that you can earn. So as I said, there's three that you can buy, and there's the one that you can earn in three different ways on there. Just as a reminder, there's still the global op that's running. So that's been running since the 12th of January, 5 p.m. UTC, and runs to the 5th of February, 5 p.m. UTC. The final outcome of the Cryptic Memories Anomaly series will be based on the total series points accrued by each faction from all components. The faction with the higher final score will claim the series as normal. So during the Cryptic Memories Global Op, agents can earn the Cryptic Memories Global Op medals by deploying, destroying, upgrading resonators. We've covered this before. 200 series points will be allocated proportionally based on the amount of agents earning any tier of the Cryptic Memories Global Op medal per faction, rounded down to one decimal place. Results will be announced within 1 week after the Global Op concludes, as an update to this article. So if you know agents who haven't earned the medal at all, you can encourage them to go out and at least earn the lower tier of the medal to get points for your faction on there. And then I'm going to move on and get through covering the Soul Battle, give myself a little bit of a break before I do that. Before I start to talk about the Soul Battle, I just want to note that in the Niantic post, they mention a few acronyms that people may not be familiar with. So they put AMER, which means America, EMEA, standing for Europe, Middle East and Africa, and APAC, APAC, which is Asia Pacific. So when they talk about those acronyms, they're talking about those countries. So if you see it says AMER regional cells, those are regional cells in America. Similarly for APAC regional cells, there'll be cells in Asia Pacific countries. It's not super clear if you don't know those, so I just want to say that for when I go through and say those to you as well. So for the Cell Battle, again, this is something you can earn the Anomaly Medal from, as I mentioned earlier. So at 13 regional cells per each of the three Septicycles, so from the 7th of February 3 p.m. UTC to the 14th of February 5 p.m. UTC, at 5 AMER regional cells, 5 EMEA regional cells, and 3 APAC regional cells, to be revealed approximately 10 days before the Septicycle begins, so we don't know these yet. And the next Septicycle is the 22nd of February 5 a.m. UTC to 29th of February 7 a.m. UTC, and that will be at 3 AMER regional cells, 3 EMEA regional cells, and 7 APAC regional cells, again revealed about 10 days before the Septicycle begins. And the third sceptre cycle runs from the 7th of March, 7 p.m. UTC, to the 14th of March, 9 p.m. UTC. And that is at 5 AMER regional cells, 5 EMEA regional cells, and 3 APAC regional cells. Again, revealed about 10 days before the sceptre cycle begins. So during the cryptic memory cell battles, agents may compete to control Pacific cells during the Pacific Sceptre cycles in order to aid their faction in the Anomaly series by placing in the top 50 within their faction in the cell's final Sceptre cycle score. Agents will earn the Cryptic Memories Anomaly Medal. So the regional score of each selected regional cell will be measured with the last checkpoint of their respective Sceptre cycle. Each faction will earn a proportion of 15 series points available for each regional cell based on the overall score for the respective sceptre cycle. So this allows you to earn the anomaly medal if you are within one of those cells. As I said, we don't know where those are as yet, but it notes that the first batch will be revealed about 10 days before the 7th of February. So in theory, that should be in a couple of days that we find that out, and I'll update that once we know. But the others will be able to compete there. If it's something you've not done before, that's basically getting the high score in your cells, which you can check by tapping on your screen and then going on to score to see how your faction is doing and where your score is placed for capturing MU and things like that. So I'm now going to move on and talk about the Shard Knight as well. For this one, you can earn the Anomaly Medal, but you can't do it remotely. It has to be local interactions that you're doing on here. So on the 16th of February, there's an event that runs from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. local time at 13 EMEA locations to be revealed 10 days before. The 1st of March, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. local time at 13 APAC locations, again being revealed 10 days before. And 15th of March, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. local time at 13 AMER locations being revealed 10 days before. So during the Cryptic Memories Shard Nights, agents may engage in hour-long shard-based operations across multiple sites over the coming months. Following the operation, NIA Section 14 Battle Beacons will enable agents engaging these operations locally to earn the Cryptic Memories Anomaly Medal. As mentioned, it'll take place at the local time, 7 p.m. in 39 cities across February and March. On each Shard Night, 13 cities within Pacific region will be active. Each site will contribute 10 series points, split based on faction performance to the series score. An exception to this is a Shard Night city where no shards jump, and such sites will contribute no points. One week prior to the Shard Night, an ornamented portal will manifest within a chosen city, marking the center point of the operation. So if you're not aware, you can view ornamented portals using the Ingress Intel map. So we'll be able to see where those locations are and know where agents kind of should gather. And 24 hours prior to the manifestation of the shards, 13 portals become ornamented, marking locations where shards are expected to manifest. These ornaments will be color-coded based on the three waves in which shards will manifest. These portals will be at most 3 kilometers from the center point and are likely to be at least 1 kilometer away from the center point. Shards will manifest in three waves, and each wave of shards will make one jump before demanifesting. Any shard that is able to travel a link longer than 250 meters in length will be scored for the faction that owns the link the shard traveled on. Following their jump opportunity, a wave of shards will demanifest and the next wave of shards will manifest. Once all shards have manifested, jumped, and demanifested, the series score for the Shard Knight at this city will be calculated and published. The site value of 10 will be divided between the factions based on the number of shards scored, rounded down to one decimal place. One NIA Section 14 deployed battle beacon will manifest on each portal where a shard originated or jumped at approximately 8 p.m. local time. Agents who locally interact with one of these battle beacons will earn 5 points towards the Cryptic Memories agent stat, which will earn them the Cryptic Memories Anomaly Medal. In this context, locally means that a remote recharge will not be counted as interacting with a battle beacon. So for that one, you do have to be within the area. You can't remotely recharge from somewhere else and expect to get the points. So the Shard Knight will play it as follows. There are quite tight deadlines on here. So at 7 p.m. local time, the first wave of shards will manifest, being 3 shards. At 7:15 p.m. local time, the wave 1 shards jump. And also at 7:15 p.m, the wave 2 shards manifest, which is 4 shards. At 7:20 p.m, the wave 1 shards demanifest, and then points would be calculated from those. At 7:30 p.m, the wave 2 shards jump. And then at 7:30 p.m, the wave 3 shards manifest, being 6 shards. At 7:35 p.m, wave 2 shards demanifest, and their points would be calculated. And then at 7:45 p.m, the wave 3 shards jump. And then they demanifest at 7:50 p.m. And then following that, at 8 p.m. local time, the battle beacons manifest on all shard origin and destination portals. And shard visuals and behaviours will match those of the main anomaly sites. So I'm going to give myself a brief pause and move on to talk about the anomaly sites and a bit more on the shards there. There are 4 sites for the in-person anomalies this quarter. So for the 17th of February, there's Adelaide and Santiago. The 16th of March, there's Macau and Porto. And each anomaly site is worth a total of 200 series points. So there's 93 series points from the Battle Beacons event at the anomaly, and 93 series points from the Flash Shards at the anomaly. There are also 7 serious points from Stealth Ops attached to the respective site, and 7 serious points from Urban Ops attached to the respective site for grabs. So these serious points will be allotted proportionally based on the faction's performance during each of the on-site anomaly events or special ops. In the event of site/phase cancellations, the site phase will have no impact on the serious score. So for the Battle Beacons procedure and the scoring, there's a 3-hour portal battle that will take place at Anomaly Zone portals using NIA-deployed rare battle beacons. And the Anomaly Zone portals will be ornamented before and during the anomaly. There's some ornaments already up on the map for the February ones. The final score of the portal battle will be used to proportionally divide the 93 series points available. So they provide here an example of the 3-hour period from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time, divided into 6 waves. So Battle Beacon Wave 1 will be from 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m, Wave 2, 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m, Wave 3, 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m, Wave 4, 3:30 p.m. to 4 p.m, Wave 5, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m, and the final wave, Wave 6, 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. or local time, and they are approximate and may vary slightly. I know in anomalies I've attended, things haven't quite gone right, so don't worry if they don't trigger exactly that time. Rare battle beacons will be deployed by NIA Section 14, and a subset anomaly zone portals will be activated as the volatile portals that are high value targets worth 3 times that of the non-volatile ones. Battle beacons are scored across the 3 checkpoints 3 minutes apart. Each checkpoint contributes a score towards that Battle Beacon's final score, and the score contribution increases at each checkpoint. Each non-volatile Battle Beacon is worth a total of 2 + 3 + 4, so equals 9 battle points. Category classification will have no impact. For example, if the Enlightened caps checkpoint 1, and the Resistance caps is checkpoint 2 and 3 of a non-volatile portal, the battle result will be Enlightened 2, Resistance 7, so 3 plus 4. Each volatile battle beacon is worth a total of 6 plus 9 plus 12, being 27 beacon points. Again, category classification will have no impact. For example, if the Enlightened captures checkpoint 1 and the Resistance captures checkpoint 2 and 3 of Volatile Battle Beacon, the battle result will be Enlightened 6, Resistance 21, obviously being the 9 plus 12 there, and they get that score. The final score for each faction in the portal battle will be its maximum score for any of the battle beacon waves during the anomaly period. 93 series points will be distributed proportionally between the factions based on their final raw score. As mentioned in the other one, there are shards at these in-person anomalies as well. So at each anomaly zone, 6 target portals per faction and 31 shards will manifest. The first 5 shards secured on a faction's target portal will score 1 to 3 series points per shard, being a maximum of 15 series points per target portal for that faction, regardless of which faction controlled the target portal at the time of the shard landing. Any additional shards secured after the 5th shard on a given portal are worth 0 series points. A shard landing before 3 p.m. local time is worth 1 series points. Between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. is worth 2 series points, and after 4 p.m. is worth 3 series points. And shards and target portals will go as follows in local time. So at 1:59 p.m. all target portals will materialise. Starting at 2:06 p.m. batches of 4 to 7 portals will materialise at 30 minute intervals. Starting at 2:15 p.m. local time, all shards will begin travelling along eligible links approximately every 10 minutes. The last shard movement will occur approximately at 4:55 p.m. and all shards and target portals will dematerialise around 6 p.m. local time. Both shards and target portals will only materialise on identified anomaly zone portals. However, shards can travel long links to any portal. Target portals and shards may spawn anywhere within the anomaly zone, and shards will only travel along links connecting two portals of level 4 or higher. If multiple viable links exist, a shard may travel along any one of those links. If multiple shards are present on a portal, they may each travel to different links. Shards will not return or backtrack to a portal they were previously located on within the past 25 minutes. In the event that a shard has not travelled along any link within the past 25 minutes, it may randomly teleport to a nearby portal at the next movement window. Shards will stop travelling or remain locked once they reach target portal, regardless of any change in faction ownership of the target portal. If a shard movement is found to be the result of any actions by a rogue agent, NIA Ops may return the shard to the previous location. I'll give myself a little break again before I go in and talk about the additional events and the Ops events that get scores as well. There are 2 special Ops that you can do at the in-person anomalies. So these are the NIA TKO Stealth Ops and the NIA TKO Urban Ops. So the Stealth Ops happen the day before the anomaly, on the Friday before at 5 p.m. local time, for all of those in Adelaide, Santiago, Macau and Porto. The NIA TKO Urban Ops happen the day of the anomaly on at 10 a.m. So there's 2 different ones on there. These are run by GoRook, so a separate company to Niantic, and they both note that they consist of some physicality challenges. So there may be like a fixed leg relay race of various endurance exercises, trivia contests, portal capture contests, various things. I've heard of like gauntlets being run, various things and bits like that that agents will have to do. And there's 7 series points for each one on there. So 7 series points up for grabs from NIA TKO Urban Ops and 7 series points from NIA TKO Stealth Ops that are available. If they do all end up in a tie, each faction will receive 3.5 series points, but I think that sounds unlikely from what's been mentioned on there. As said, it is a separate event, so you need separate tickets for that you can purchase from the GoRook site. And for that, as mentioned, you do get a increment on medals. So the Urban Ops medal is a separate medal to the Stealth Ops medal. So if you compete in each one, you'll earn 1 increment on those medals for your badges. And there's a few other additional events going on the site. So on the 16th of February 2024 to Sunday the 18th February 2024 in Adelaide and Santiago, the Mobile Research Lab NL1331X portal will be active. The Sunday after the anomaly, there'll be an Ingress Mission Day in each area. And again, on the Sunday at 10 a.m. local time following the main anomaly, there'll be Operation Clearfield. Operation Clearfield, you need to purchase tickets for. It's as notes for Operation Clearfield, it's a ticketed service-themed scavenger hunt with competitive Ingress exploration, again hosted by GoRuck. Agents successfully completing the event on site will earn one increment on their Operation Clearfield medal. The Ingress Mission Day is registration free, verification free, and ticket free. So that's a free bit that you can do post the main anomaly. So you just need to complete six or more MD 2024, whatever the city name is, Mission Day missions from 12 a.m. local time to 11:59 p.m. local time, and that will earn you one increment on the Mission Day medal. The Mission Day medal increment is automatic after completing six of such missions, and you can use the NIA mission filter to view nearby official missions once you're at the site. And as for the NL1331X portal, that's either just the portal or the actual van itself, depending on what land it can get. But there'll be a special portal that appears, the NL1331 portal. And if you hack the portal during that time, you'll earn one increment on the NL1331 Meetups medal. And it's not pushed upon hacking, you don't get it straight away, but they'll be granted within 1 week of the event ending. So lots of medals up for grabs if you attend everything, but it's up to you what you attend and how you want to go through that and what you think is worth going for, basically. And we don't know all of the cells, things like that, as yet, but we do all get to participate in the Cryptic Memories Bonus Week. It's running from the 22nd of March, so that'll be nice at the very least. And we can all earn the Global Ops Medal, obviously, until the 5th of February, so you've still got time to earn that. And then just gonna move on to a few of my thoughts on the event now as well. My first read of the news page was that it's not very new player friendly at all. There's a lot of information and lots of stuff that's not explained very well. It's all kind of jumps over the place on saying shard battles are this, cryptic memories are this, here's all this information. So I've tried to group everything together, hopefully make it a little bit clearer. I'll share some infographics and other guides from the time coming up to the anomaly. But I think Atlantic didn't do a very good job at this if they're trying to get new people interested into the anomaly. I know it's a lot to take in and lots of badges that they can give out, but I think they could have done a lot better, maybe having a separate page for each event. So saying Shard Knight is XYZ, here's a separate page about Shard Knight and explaining it in a bit more detail, maybe with some videos to show what's happening. They do have some images on their news page, but it's not the best if you're brand new to the game or you've never attended Anomaly before. And I think they also fell down on not explaining AMER and EMEA. I work in an industry where I know what those mean and use them most of the day, but if it's something you've not come across before, I can get how it'd be confusing. So I don't see why Niantic didn't just put America instead of AMER, but whatever, I suppose. But as for the event itself, I kind of like where the story's going. If they do something with the story, I'm still waiting on things to happen from the Chronos op and see where that leads. It's interesting that we have Ingress anime character badges, but I suppose that's easier than having people. Hopefully this means we won't have AI art badges for this. And I like the bonus week being available to everyone, offering the 1.331 times AP, and ending as we get into April Fool's Day, which I hope we have a mini event for. But Yeah, it's a whole lot of information. Hopefully I've made it a bit easier for you to understand. If not, or if you want me to go through separate bits in prior the shows, then let me know. I'm just gonna move on now and talk about something that happened in another AR game that's a non-Niantic game that spurred some conversations. So I want to discuss it in a bit more detail. It's safe to say that I play a fair few AR games. I've tried like The Witcher one that didn't last very long, Transformers, Catan, all those kind of ones that kind of dropped off. One non-Niantic one that I play that I want to talk about in this section is Jurassic World Alive. This made by Ludia and Jam City. It previously used Google Maps API, but has now switched to using Mapbox because Google Maps API for this service got discontinued, so it doesn't use Niantic's map system. But what they recently did was shared an update about using their game without having GPS on. So they've introduced a new option to turn off the real map, and when the button's turned off, you'll be, to use their words, transported to a special area of the map crawling with dinosaurs. So the main aim in Jurassic World Live is to dart dinosaurs and get their DNA and create dinosaurs on there to do battles. So with that, you can do a GPS-less location, and that depends on the continent where you activate the feature. So for example, if you're in North America, it will transport you to Los Angeles. If you're in Europe, it will transport you to Paris. If you're in Africa, it will transport you to Cairo, and you can interact with the game as if you were there. Kind of a weird thing to do. I don't have any issues with having lots of stuff around me on that game when I do play, so it's not a problem for me. But it spurred on discussions in Niantic spaces about what the Niantic games would look like with GPS-less play, whether that would be something that would be good to do. And I know for some of the Niantic games, to say Pikmin, you can do things when you're at home, such as feeding your Pikmin. With Ingress, there's not much that you can do without moving, which is kind of the main point of it. But it'd be nice if there was little things to do, like a glyph mini game or something like that you could do without necessarily needing GPS, with minimal rewards or just for fun kind of thing. But I just wanted to highlight it because it's something that came up and got shared in other Niantic groups that I'm in. Would you want to play Ingress without GPS? Do you think there's something you could do with it? Just let me know. I'll probably put that as a Q&A for this episode. I'll move on and talk about using up all my nominations. For those of you who are at least level 10 and have passed the Wayfarer onboarding, you'll know that you can use up to 40 nominations for creating new way spots that can become portals, and you'll get one back per day. So if I used up 5 portal nominations today, I'd get one back tomorrow until I got back up to 40 being the maximum. I do remember a time when it was just 7, I think, portal nominations. They came back all in a batch. So if you used up 5, you'd wait 2 weeks or 13 days and they get 5 back. So I remember that kind of time in Scanner Redacted days. But sometimes I think that 40 is a lot. However, this past weekend I went out to a new place and used all 40 in one day. So I had to go to the other game and use some nominations there. And I just want to kind of open up a bit of a discussion with people to say whether is 40 nominations enough? Do you run out of nominations yourself, or do you not bother with Wayfarer slash OPR stuff at all? I've been a while since I found that I've run out that much, but it does happen to me from time to time, and I'm probably going to swear new in the next few weeks, and I'll probably run out again because I'll only be back up to 20 or so by that point. But I don't know, is 40 portal nominations enough? Do you think it should go back to 7? Do you think they should be limited in some other way so that someone doesn't use all 40 in a day? just want to put it out there because I'd gone through and used everything up. But that being said through and kind of expressed that, now I'm going to move on and talk about the feature section. Continuing to talk about medals and going ahead with our retired medals, the one I want to talk about this time is the Recruiter Medal. So this was awarded for inviting and helping other agents in Ingress, and you got the badge for inviting people to play the game, as it implies, but you only got a count on the badge when the new agent reached level 3. So the idea being that you coach them and help them get to that level when you recruit them to the game. It got added on the 15th of January 2015, so any invites you made earlier than that didn't count. And you got one for higher tiers, so if you invited two agents, you got bronze, 10 was silver, gold was 25, platinum was 50, and onyx was inviting 100 agents and getting them to level 3. So obviously quite a big task then. I believe I've only ever invited one agent in the system who got to that level. I invited a few more, but they obviously never got to level 3, so I never got a tick on that badge. It was put on pause on the 5th of June 2019, and that was confirmed by the former community manager Andrew Krug, who said the recruiter medal has intentionally been put on pause and is no longer working. There's been discussions about having a new recruitment process once the new agent tutorial is completed. The new agent tutorial has since been completed, but we don't yet have a way to recruit people in. I know the other Niantic games offer additional rewards and things for recruiting people to that game. Even things like NBA All-World, even though that's gone, I think offered some extra incentives for inviting people and getting to play. So it's one that I expect to come back in a different fashion. Unlike with Guardian, that I think is gone for good. I think we may see Recruiter come back if they can get some more advertising behind the game and get people wanting to play. I know when I've attended Anomalies, I've had people ask me questions to the point where I'm thinking that I should print off little cards that tell them about Ingress to hand out and get them recruited to Enlightened. So I may do that for my next in-person Anomaly. But I think the idea behind the badge was good, but obviously it led to things like backpacks and multi-accounting, unfortunately, like it does in any games like that where people want the highest tier, want the rewards from it. So they'd have to think of some ways to combat that if we did get a badge brought back. But I don't know, is it something that you want to come back? Is it something you think is better off being on pause for 4 years, 5 years now? I don't know. I think it will come back at some point, but just not yet. I move on to talk about not really something that's in the game, but something that's game related, and something that I did mention earlier in the show as well. What I want to talk about in this section is the Ingress anime. It's something you may not know even exists, but there is an anime series based on the game Ingress, which is 11 episodes, and it's available on Netflix in most locations, and you can get it on DVDs, Blu-ray. And it revolves around Makoto, a special investigator employed by the Metropolitan Police Force, and it also features characters called Sarah Coppola and Jack Norman, and it's also got a additional character in called Zion Kunikuda, who are characters appearing on the medals for the Cryptic Memories Anomaly. And within the Ingress anime, Makoto has psychometry, which allows him to read objects of memories he touches, again linking to Cryptic Memories. I won't spoil what happens in the anime if you haven't seen it. It's okay as an anime. I think it was meant to launch to celebrate Ingress Prime, because it was meant to stream worldwide on November the 23rd, 2018, with Prime coming out on November the 5th, 2018, but it was rescheduled to April the 30th, 2019, so it didn't quite sync up on there for whatever reason, unfortunately. And then obviously didn't quite launch as well as they expected. It's noted at the end of the anime to be continued, but as it's now been nearly 6 years since the anime, it doesn't look like we're getting any more of it. Like I said, it's okay, it does some interesting ideas, and I'm wondering how it will link to the Cryptic Memories anomaly, given the events that happen in the show, and whether it's a launchpad for a possible season 2 of the anime, if they found someone else to do it or got some of the bits on there, and whether we might see more badges. But that was my main thing, that there is an Ingress anime, it exists, it's okay, it's worth watching, and something to while away a few hours on as well. The theme song's really good. I enjoy the theme song probably most out of it, and just seeing bits about Ingress. But I encourage you all to watch it if you have the time, but if not, you're not missing out on a lot. So I'm gonna get things wrapped up now and get you all back to your Sundays. Thanks so much for listening to the 16th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast, hosted by myself, Pokemon Trainer Jay. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, you can do that via Threads and Instagram, are the best ones, under the name ingress.insights. There's also the Twitter/X under Ingress Insights. And we also have a YouTube channel under Ingress Insights Podcast. There's also a new link in our social media section for sending us a voice message if you want us to include your thoughts about Cryptic Memories or anything else in the show. And also there's a small link in there that I've added after discussing with other podcast hosts, with a Ko-fi link. So if you like the show and you want to send in like $1, whatever, so that I can buy better equipment or start using it to improve the podcast in some way, then you can do that. I'm not gonna push it too much, but it's there as a thing if you want to look at that. Make any suggestions on what I can do with the show, I'm open to suggestions. But next time we'll be looking at any updates we've had about the Cryptic Memories anomaly, and also checking on my progress on it. I don't think I'm going to get the highest level badge in the days that are left, but happy to update you all on what's going on so far for me on that. So hope you all have a great weekend and get back out there, and I'll see you soon in the field, agents. Thank you.